Welcome to episode 58 of the Group Answers Podcast. I'm Brian Daniel with Chris Surratt.
What's going on?
Well, college basketball is going on, but what else?
Actually, college basketball is over. We just crowned the champion.
Even the women's?
Yes.
That's over too.
Notre Dame took out the mighty UConn.
UConn.
And then Villanova just ran over the entire bracket. So I picked them, so I'm very happy about this. But even more important, do you know what today is?
I do not.
And this is the day we're recording, obviously. Not maybe the day
this
we're
has
broadcasting.
Not been rehearsed.
But today is, I just heard this on the radio on the way into work, it is National Party Day.
That's right. Of course it is.
It's national. And we always say we throw a party every time we do a podcast. And I don't know, honestly, a better party guest to have than our guest that's coming up, Dr. Philip Nation.
Boy, the wheels are coming off.
I'm trying to party over here.
The wheels are coming off on episode 58. Philip, thanks for bearing with us. Yes.
Oh, I'm glad to do it, fellas.
Yes, the original party guest is Philip Nation, who in addition to being just that, is also the pastor of First Baptist Church, Bradenham, Florida. Welcome to the show, Philip. Again.
Thanks so much. Yes. I'm glad to be back on again.
Philip is a repeat guest as well.
Is he really? I wasn't around for the first time.
That's right. In addition to this, Philip has been a publishing director here at Lifeway Christian Resources. He is and has been a church planner and a frequent speaker for conferences. And Philip is a regular speaker at quite a few conferences and gets to go to some really cool places. He earned a doctorate of ministry from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and serves as the assistant professor of leadership and biblical studies at Houston Baptist University. And in addition to all of these things, he has at some point found a way to write the book Habits for Our Holiness, as well as the just recently released small group study Pursuing Holiness, Application for James. And I would add, Chris, that Philip is the happy husband of Angie and father to Andrew and Chris, in addition to being our party guest today.
I think you buried the lead. That's the most important part. Right, Philip?
That is the most important part. That is where all the party starts, is with Angie, Andrew, and Chris.
And you now live basically in paradise on the beach. Every picture I see in social media is you strolling down the beach while we're freezing in Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I almost feel bad for you guys on some days, but then I remember that I have offered up for any of you to come and visit us in Florida at any time that you'd like.
Has it gotten old yet?
No, it has not. Not at all. Not at all. I don't think it ever will. I mean, being able to go to the beach on Christmas Day and wearing shorts and a t-shirt is it's a pretty awesome thing. So we love it down here in Southwest Florida. It's got, all of the beauty that, you know, could possibly attract people here. And then just from a pastoral standpoint, it's a really incredible opportunity. A great opportunity for ministry in a really kind of eclectic kind of community. So we're having a good time, and it's a cool church that has blessed us to allow me to lead and do all of these other kind of cool things that you had mentioned, that I continue to write and travel. And like right now, I'm getting ready to go on an extended trip to Brazil, where I'm going to be preaching in three or four different cities over the course of about 12 days.
Well, of the people I know, and given that you have, at least for a season of your life, and it's been relatively recent, immersed yourself in this study of holiness and understanding it, and I'm sure practicing it as well, let's just start with something basic here, Philip. So what is personal holiness? And you might add, what is it not? There may be some popular misconceptions or misunderstandings or even misapplications out there.
Yeah, I try to define holiness as in a relatively simple way, and that is dedicating your life to the will and the ways of God. And to unpack that, it means that it has a lot more to do with dedication of your heart than it does to trying to attain to some kind of legalistic standards and creating a kind of an evangelical version of Amish living. And I think that that's where the misconceptions come in, is that to be holy, you have to separate yourself from the current culture. And I think when we look at the biblical idea of what is holiness, it is to have your heart separated for God's will and the way that God wants us to live out his mission in the world while in the current culture. So it's not running away. It is engaging the current culture and your current circumstances with the wisdom of God for how living is supposed to be done.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Where do you think that comes from? The idea of holiness has to be apart from society, apart from people. I think a lot of people, when they picture an earnest pursuit of holiness, it's like, Chris, wouldn't you agree, like in the woods or alone or in meditation or something like that?
Yeah, I think of the Essene tribe that went out to the desert and kind of set up camp and tried to be holy enough for God to return. But yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think that the misconception comes when we dilute the idea of holiness just down to moralism, that it's just our ethics. And that's where I think the great gap comes in for most people's thinking, is that they equate the idea of holiness with just ethical decisions. And holiness has to be more than just, you know, when you were walking through the mall, did you stare at the giant life-size poster of a gal in lingerie or not? And so then it's like, well, in order to avoid that test of my morality, I need to go live in a cabin in the woods. I need to live by a babbling brook or a waterfall, or I got to go live in a cave or a monastery so that I can avoid all of those temptations. And that's never the portrait of holiness in the Bible. It was always people living out their normal, natural lives, but with a dedication of heart that how do I live out the grace and the mercy of God in real-time circumstances?
So you kind of hinted at it, but I would think that as we pursue this type of holiness, that especially the world thinks that they're just legalistic, you know, that it's about legalism. So how do we kind of portray to the world that we're not just falling into that ditch of legalism?
Yeah, I think that then holiness can be, you know, it can be put on display to the world a lot of times by our decision making of what it is that we're going to value. Because legalism focuses on, you know, the do not touch, do not taste. It focuses on all of the things for which, I keep pointing out to people, well, here's my boundary marker. I can't go over there with you with where you're living in your horrible, sinful life. And so certainly within the thought of holiness, there are ethical boundary markers as to what we don't do. But the biblical idea is more of the what is it that I have positively dedicated myself to? I have positively aligned myself and given my allegiance to Jesus so that he is directing my path, so that I can follow him in his ways and not trying to constantly display what I don't do and poke people in the eye for being bad. But instead, it's the display of grace and mercy that I have positively dedicated my life toward.
That's good. I mean, I think about, not to go political with this conversation, but the so-called Mike Pence rule that kind of everyone is making fun of, which feels legalistic kind of in his private life, which leads to my question. I mean, you're a writer, you're a pastor, a dad, a husband, a son, and all of us are kind of operating in those different spheres or orbits all the time. So for you, how does a pursuit of holiness apply to each of these? Are there differences, or is it maybe simpler than that? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, for me, I think that there, you know, as a husband and as a dad, and then let's say pastor, and, you know, if we start layering on all the things that an individual does, for me, then there are these other pursuits of writer, speaker, professor kind of stuff. And for me, I try not to set up different rules and regulations for each orbit of life, because if I have those different rules and regulations for how I'm going to operate as a professor when I'm on the campus at Houston Baptist University versus how I'm going to operate in my home with my wife versus how I'm going to operate on my church campus as a pastor, I think that gives me, you know, too much latitude to be legalistic of I've got to act one way in each different scene. And so instead, I have to look at my life as a whole rather than compartmentalize and say, okay, God, you've given me these different roles of life, dad, husband, pastor, friend, you know, not just a discipler, but being discipled by people. And so in all of these orbits of life, you know, where is it that I can see God at work of how he is renewing people's souls and how he is going to dispense grace through my life when it's surrendered to him? And so, you know, do I have standards of morals and ethics that I live by? Absolutely. But I want those standards to be servant to Christ and not be the things that I say, well, Christ, I've got these rules and regulations I'm operating by, and I need you to then operate inside of my sphere, of my morality. That's where we get things twisted and backwards.
Philip, culturally, it seems to me, and I think, and Chris and I have talked about this on the show at some measure, I don't know at to what degree of depth we got into it, but I feel like that we've always been fascinated with things culturally, like entertainment and, you know, like celebrity and those kinds of things. But it seems that we have hit a critical place in this regard, and that we have moved away from any serious pursuit of a standard way to live our lives in any sense, actually. And it seems like that we're maybe seeing this movement within our churches as well. And so, you know, when we introduced you in the bio, we talked about the study, Pursuing Holiness, Applications from James. So I was just wondering where group life is concerned. And how do you see this study, Pursuing Holiness, and its content helping offset these trends? And so,
yeah.
let me just for our listeners, because this is where I think Chris would agree. I know in my group, in our group life, holiness isn't something that we spend maybe as much time talking about as we should, and the pursuit of it as a part of a disciple's life. There's a lot of other important things that we do talk about, but this, I think, becomes more implicit than explicit. And I think maybe that's wrong. And so just to look at Pursuing Holiness, and again, we're in James, you know, those six sessions are wise and humble endurance, obedience in real time, which you've already mentioned, relationships of grace, putting holiness into practice, the way of humility, and powerful lives of prayer. So this content, as you put it together and as you've thought about it and as you put the final touches on it, because you wrote this study. Not only did you do the video and help us with the concept, but you wrote it. How do you see this study playing into some of the trends that we're seeing in, you know, as it plays out in group life?
Well, I hope that first and foremost within group lives that it's going to draw people and their conversations back to the core of what a core question of how is God, you know, revealing his own character through the scriptures that we can live according to. And because one of the trends within group life that I know that we've talked about a lot, I know you guys mull over it as well, is the trend that a small group has just become a place where we get together and everybody, you know, converses about their own spiritual opinions. And nothing is anchored or moored into anything eternal. And so that's why when we started talking about doing a study on pursuing holiness, I wanted to anchor it right into some core texts of Scripture, and James is a great place for that to happen. And so I hope that in group life that people will see that holiness is something that is born out of the Scriptures and not something that is birthed out of our own, you know, attempts at somehow getting brownie points with God. And so that's where would be a good starting point. And so as you guys have been thinking about how does holiness play into the greater life of small group life across particularly our culture. You know, I think that I'd be interested to know, you know, where do you see the trends going as well in terms of, is this a topic of conversation, or have people left the, you know, the word and the idea of holiness for a previous generation and they don't know what to do with it?
I think that's my opinion. That's where it is. I think the idea of holiness and kind of where the culture has gone away from it is definitely a conversation that is at least at the surface when it comes to small groups, at least my small group. I have a small group of mostly 20-somethings, and we discuss kind of where the culture is all the time, social media and what we're seeing and what we're not seeing. But I think the next step is that pursuit of holiness, but that word is not used. And I think it's that, like we talked about earlier, it's that ditch of legalism that if we even approach it, it feels like, well, it's just about rules and regulations. So, you know, I would have a question to you, Philip. How do you voice it as a small group leader? And I'm interested in this because this is a brand new group for me. So how do I take a group of 20-somethings that are not familiar with that concept or that idea of pursuing holiness and present it in a way that is not kind of coming down at them? It's still culturally relevant, but still it's holiness.
Yeah, and you and I have very similar small groups that we lead. That's really interesting because when we got here to First Baptist Bradenton, Angie and I took on the task of leading the small group for the 20-something married couples. And so we've got those young couples that are in kind of their mid-20s up until their early 30s, that, and some of them have begun to have babies, and so we've got, you know, little preschoolers running around as well. And so from everybody who, you know, the guy in our group who is a mechanic for the county, you know, for the buses, to the guy in our group that he is a programmer of code for websites, you know, how do we get these people to think about holiness? And so what I keep doing is when these cultural issues come up, which are real. So, for example, Florida has now passed the legislation that the sale of marijuana is legal, and we have begun to have dispensaries here in our county. So when one of our small group, particularly, like there was one particular gal, it was the very first question she ever asked me is, you know, what do you think about medical marijuana? And so with these kind of cultural hot potato issues, I try to bring them back to thinking about the kingdom of God, not just how does this issue work out for you ethically? Like, how are you going to relate to your neighbor about this on an ethical standpoint, whether it's borrowing their rake and never giving it back, or skimming money out of the, you know, out of the petty cash till at work because they owe you a little bit more because you worked extra hours. And so instead of just making it a kind of a blunt ethical issue, I try to bring them back to the idea of we are supposed to be living out kingdom values here on the earth. You know, we're the ones who are bringing the kingdom of God to the kingdom of man. And so how is it that your light can display the totality of the kingdom of God rather than just how do I compartmentalize this issue out and try to treat it like it's unrelated to anything else in what Christ is doing on the earth? So for me, it is holiness, to relate the word to something else. It is about holistic spiritual living rather than just individual topics of morality. And so I try to keep them connected as to how all of the storyline of Scripture connects together to display how all of your spiritual life connects together.
So here's a question to both of you guys. The pursuit of holiness is definitely an individual pursuit, or can be. I mean, I guess better put, it's not that it's certainly not an individual pursuit. So it's, we're all group leaders, and I think my group is probably, it sounds like it skews older than you guys. But in what sense is pursuing holiness done in community? And Philip, you've touched on it a little bit, but I'd like to hear a few thoughts about, you know, maybe accountability. Philip, obviously, as the pastor, you're going to be looked at differently than maybe a normal group leader. And Chris, probably that probably applies to you as well. But in terms of like within the group, doing, you know, like opting to do this study is one of the ways that you can keep this in front of the group. I think accountability, putting yourself in a position to where like a group member will come to you with questions, Philip, like you just described, is certainly one of the ways that it can be done. But what are some other what are some other tips like that a group that may be helpful to a group leader that would like to be more sincere or maybe make this more prominent in group life?
Yeah, I start with a statement that as soon as I say it, you'll know, oh, that's one of Philip's preaching points, but I think it works here, and that is that your spiritual life is personal, but it's not private. We need to, as church leaders and small group leaders, we need to abandon the misconception of a privatized spirituality. That is just simply not a concept that exists within the scriptures. How we live out our faith is always done in the community of believers. And so I think pursuing holiness is something that we do together. And so as the pastor of our church, I have made the decision to not cordon off my life from other people in our church. I try not to be awkward in my confessional attitude, whether it's when I'm preaching publicly on Sundays or meeting with our small groups on Sunday nights, or even I have my own kind of men's accountability group of a couple of guys in the church. You know, I try to not be awkward in my confessions to them of where I have been flawed, but I try to make it very clear that my spiritual life is a subject matter for, you know, trusted friendships to be able to converse about. And holiness is better pursued in community, because holiness is supposed to be a characteristic of the church and not just the Christian. It's a both and, not an either or.
And I think you hit something there too, Philip. You talked about a group of men. I think sometimes some of these things need to be broken down by gender, that it's better to have three or four guys that I get together. And like you said, it's personal, but not private. But I think there are different types of environments where it's better to be more vulnerable and open than maybe a mixed group like what I currently lead. I'm not going to completely open up, nor would I want to completely open up to everybody in that group. But if I can have two or three guys that I get together on the weekend or every other weekend, that's a better probably environment for that. Would you agree with that, Philip?
Oh, yeah, I do. Because what I would open up about my heart in front of our entire congregation of, you know, several hundred people is different from what I'm going to open up my heart to our small group, which is 14, 16 people that I am doing life with that have become very trusted kind of inner circle friends. And that is going to be different than what I'm going to open up my life to for two or three guys that they're on similar journeys of being husbands, of being fathers, of being guys who are leaders in their own right as to where they work. And so as you move down that funnel of relationships to people who are incredibly close to you, those are the places where you find the greatest level of trust, where you know that there's going to be grace that is going to be given, but there is going to be, responsibilities are going to be held to, where I've given permission to these other guys that are not pastors, they're not ministers. One works in the tech industry and one is in law enforcement. I've given them permission to press back on me to say, okay, so Philip, you've confessed about, you know, this issue that you got angry about or that you tripped up on. So how do we walk with you through this so that you can, you know, find yourself renewed again into the right relationship with Christ and the person maybe that you tripped, you know, you stumbled through the relationship. So I do think that those are important layers of relationships for us to have to pursue holiness well.
So a group leader that would want to make the pursuit of holiness more integral to group life may be mindful of these words. You guys tell me if I got this right. To be more confessional, maybe within a smaller group. Accountability is a good word that can be done in a lot of different ways, maybe also in a gender-specific group or a smaller group. To be transparent. And then Philip used the word permission, that we need to give those people that we are in these kinds of relationships with, we need to give them permission to, as you said, press us with our lives and our decisions. So would you guys have anything? Does that sound like a fair summation?
Yeah, it is. And I would just, let me just tag it on with, and I'll tell this story incredibly quickly. I've shared this story in several different times. One of the most well-known authors that Lifeway has ever had is Henry Blackaby, who wrote Experiencing God a number of years ago. And I had the high privilege of being an associate pastor at a church where he is still a member. This was when I was in my early 30s. And I became friends with Dr. Blackaby, and we would go, he would, you know, spend time with me, we'd go to breakfast or lunch together, and he was just, it was just incredible to be able to spend time with this, you know, kind of giant of the faith. And I remember this so very clearly. There was one particular time we were having breakfast together, and as we were winding it up, I was fawning all over him about how great it was that he would spend time with a young believer, a young pastor, and I thanked him for being my mentor. And he looked at me so strangely, and he said, and I always called him Henry because that's what he wanted me to call him. He didn't want me to call him Dr. Blackaby. And Henry looked at me and he said, "Philip, I'm not your mentor, I'm just your friend." And I think for us in our small groups and as believers in churches together, for us to kind of drop a little bit of the need for, but I'm the authority in this relationship and you're, you know, sitting here at my feet, and to just take on that mantle of we're just friends, like marching on this journey together, I think would help in dropping some of our legalistic tendencies and our boundary marker making, and instead just enjoy this journey of pursuing, placing God's will and God's ways as the priority in our lives.
Well, I appreciate that, Philip, and I think that is as good a place to end as we could find for episode 58. If you want to follow Philip, that's at Philip Nation on Twitter, and that's with one L. Don't make that mistake. And you can also, Philip, you blog at philipnation.net, correct?
That is correct.
And I would also encourage everyone to look into Habits for Holiness. That's available, I'm sure, just about anywhere that you can buy books. And the study Pursuing Holiness, Applications in James, is available now at Lifeway.com and Lifeway Christian stores everywhere.
I also want to mention, if you have not subscribed to this podcast, maybe you stream it on the website, but you'd like to have it on your phone. Like when I work out, I have a bunch of podcasts I listen to. Just search for Group Answers Podcast and you can subscribe. And it would be even better if you would leave us a good review on iTunes. Don't leave us a bad one. It doesn't help us. Leave us a good one. And that helps more people find this podcast.
I'd like to thank our guest today, Philip Nation. That's going to wrap it up for episode 58 for Chris Surratt and I. Until next time.